Oh man, I'm so excited to talk to my friend Integ here on the new John Simmons Show. You're live. This is called Pinecone Studio, by the way.
Pinecone, I like that. The pinecone smell good.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
We're off and running.
What do you say? I'm doing better than good and better than I deserve.
Oh, that's a Dave Ramsey, bro.
That's Dave
now,
Ramsey.
Now we used to work at the radio station together, and that's how I got hooked on Dave Ramsey.
Yeah. I've learned some of his principles. I can't say I apply them as much as I should.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get out of debt myself here.
But that was where you and me really got hooked up together, man. So
yeah.
For those who don't know Integrity, tell them a little bit about you, and we'll get about the history.
Yeah. So a little bit about me. Family, God first, family second. Everything else falls behind that, man. Married 13 years this year, John.
Amen.
Ain't that a blessing? 13 years, five children. And
ooh,
they,
baby.
It used to be five under five, but not anymore. Our oldest is 11. Josh is 11 now. And man, I just want to use my talent, skills, and abilities and whatever I can to serve the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. And so what one of the things you were doing to serve the Lord was you had you got out of school, right? And you're starting a business, right? So you're trying to do a God-based business, right?
Yeah.
So that's how we got hooked up because I was working at a local Christian radio station.
Yep.
And we were looking for advertisers for our drive time radio show called Let's Change St. Louis.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah. And we came knocking on your door, 24
Channel Productions.
Gonna say 24 hour. I was like, I don't think that's right. 24 Channel Productions.
Yep.
And you guys were one of the first sponsors of the show.
Yeah.
That's how we met.
In a
boardroom because you were friends with our co-host PA Moeller, or somebody from your team was, right?
Yeah, my sister-in-law knew her.
Yeah.
She knew how interested we was with trying to connect with someone who had a radio show. And that's how it happened.
Shout out PA Moeller, man.
Whoop, whoop.
Because without that connection, Integ, you wouldn't be.
This wouldn't be. This conversation would probably not be happening.
Yeah. So. It's so funny because, at the time you look back and you're like, well, maybe we didn't get any promotion out of that deal. Or maybe we just sunk some cost into that radio station. But the relationships and, your career.
The brotherhood, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's unmatched, man. You never know what door you're going to walk through that's going to lead you to that brotherhood or that friendship. We went into that station just trying to, market our indie, God-loving studio.
Yeah.
And a brotherhood blossomed from that. So you never know. Just walk through the door.
And I was so thankful because, if anybody's seen the Testimony House wall on my we built down here in the studio.
Yeah.
You're on,
beautiful,
man.
Studio, by the way.
Thank you, man. We built this in the last year, and it's just been a blessing. But your picture is on the wall because you are such an integral.
One of
your
the
name's
words.
In there somewhere.
Yeah.
Part of this process for us. And for those who don't know, by the way, our amazing, I can't give it enough shout outs, theme song, Change the World, that we put on all our stuff. It's the Testimony House theme song.
Yeah.
We can change the world. We can. That's right. We can change the world. That's you, bro.
Hey, man. I praise God for you even giving me the opportunity. I remember the conversation we were having, just talking about, just throwing some ideas out there about possibly doing a theme song, and you asked me to do it. I stepped up to the challenge, man. God made it happen. And I praise God that you guys are still able to use it, and it's not like dated or anything.
Oh, no. I mean, because it could have been, because if that comes out in the middle of COVID or something like that, all of a sudden we got something different.
Yeah.
Put on your mask or something, and it's like, well, that's not the song. What does that have to do with this thing?
Yeah.
But it was such a blessing, man.
Yeah.
Because our relationship started with, do not despise humble beginnings,
come
right?
On,
you know
now.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when you came in the room, you were there with two other guys.
Yeah.
But Facebook request, hey, be my friend, turned into me saying, hey, we need some help at the radio station that I was working at.
That's crazy, bro. Like how it even happened. Like when, and just taking you guys back the little history, I was scrolling through Facebook, John.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, cause I scroll, but sometimes I don't like going down rabbit holes. So I'll back up. I just happened to be scrolling. I seen this post from my buddy, John. My newfound friend.
That's right.
He's like, yo, if anybody's interested in radio, hit me up. This is serious opportunity only. And I know John, he's a guy that's about his word. He don't play. So when you said serious only, I'm like, this is probably a real opportunity, yo.
Yeah.
Hit you up, bro. You got me in like within a few days, bro. Got me interviewed within a few days, bro. And I was one of your co-workers, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You came in and just like me, we're running the boards, although I was doing shows at the time too.
Yep.
And the Christian radio station, man, what did you think about Christian radio when you first got into it? Because like, I came from a background where like, I grew up on secular radio.
Yeah.
I wasn't born again until I was 29 years old. So I had no familiarity with it, and especially Christian talk. So like, even though when I finally learned out who Chris Tomlin was and what Joy FM was, right?
Yeah.
I turn on Joy FM every once in a while.
Yeah.
But like talk radio for me was still like, you know, the news and different types of things. So when I came to KXEN and they were like Christian ministries doing like hour long shows and stuff, I'm like, what is going on around here? Were you familiar with that kind of
stuff? It was definitely a new format for me. You know, talk radio was something I just wasn't interested in, you know, because I didn't know it was like Christian talk radio. I didn't know it was like people giving godly financial principles like Dave Ramsey. I'm like, what is this? But I just wanted to be in radio, John. So no matter what it was, it's talking about God. Look, I just want to learn. I want to be a part. I want to grow. So just being there and just being able to learn under you, learn under so many great people. I would have went whether it was talk radio or not. I just wanted to be in radio. I took a pay cut. I wanted to do it so bad. I'm like, you know what? I'm willing to take a pay cut. I'm willing to put what we were doing to the side so I can get in and learn. And that would be my advice to anybody who's trying to get into something. Look, learn, volunteer, do what you can to get your foot in the door. And you never know what the opportunity is going to blossom to.
For me, it was very similar. Cause like it, just to talk about the money part of it. So, it's an hourly job, at least it was at the time, you know? And so it was an hourly wage, to do hourly work. Now, alongside of that, opportunities can come, and we can talk about some of that. But as far as just the money goes, when you're passionate about something, you'll do it for free almost, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Ozzie Smith's got that quote, and my pastor says it all the time, you know, I'd play this game for free, but don't tell the managers or whatever. You know what
I love it.
Don't tell the owners. You know, and that's how I felt because radio was something in my blood from the time I was in high school.
Yeah,
there was a high school radio station at my school, and I was the station manager for 2 years.
Wow,
I grew up on Howard Stern, listening to him all the time. On terrestrial radio.
Yeah,
and the idea of like just sitting down and talking for 4 hours.
Yeah,
just laughing and hamming it up.
That's it, man.
Was so good. I had a show in high school called the Q-Tip Show.
Wow. Q-Tip, what, how do you get that name?
So when I was so even though I didn't get born again until I was in my 30s, when I was a young kid, my grandma used to take me to church.
Praise God.
And so in like the little church youth group or whatever, when I was like 10 or 11, the kids behind me, now Christian kids aren't always as nice as they look like.
Look, I know they can be cruel at times. Look, I was Mellow Yellow, Yeller. I had all kind of names, John.
And that's where I got mine. So I was sitting in the second row, and the kids behind me in a row had a look in my ears, and they said, oh, Q-tip. They said, Q-T-I-P, a Q-tip is what Johnny needs, a Q-tip. They made a whole song. Wow. That was my first theme song.
Wow.
I forget Change the World. So I got this name Q-tip, and it stuck for years.
Yeah.
Through my high school, through college. Most of my friends didn't even know my real name was John anymore. Like I was Q-tip for a long time.
Wow.
And so I had this radio show, ended up going to a broadcast center.
Yeah.
Cutting my teeth there, getting a, you know, and then I worked over at MS Communications for a while, which was like in St. Louis, which was like KSHE, The Point, K-Hits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the big five stations in town. Over in Union Station, I was working there for three years or so, doing like board work, doing commercials and different things, you know, for them. Working the overnights back then.
I know about the overnights. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. I know about the overnights too well.
So I worked a lot of the overnight shifts over at MS for a while. But that's around the time I started gambling.
Yeah.
But anyway, to get back to the radio part of it, the idea that you do what you know, what you're passionate about for sort of free.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where I walked into KXEN, not really understanding what Christian radio was all about, learning that like, hey, these churches are like paying for this time.
Yeah.
That was news to me. Like I had grown up in radio where like you want to be on it, but you weren't really paying for it. Your songs get played, but you know,
it gives you different, different format for me. And knowing that these ministries were coming in to pay for this time, that took my servanthood to another level. I'm like, these people are coming in, paying for this time to preach the word. I'm going to do my best to do my best. So whatever they needed, I was there. Look, I'll board up. You got some CDs you want to play. You want some sound effects. I'm going above and beyond because I felt like, you know, I was called to do it. I wanted to serve these people to the best of my ability.
So when I worked at the radio station, I didn't really have a plan for what that was going to look like, right? Yeah. So I go on the station. They had called me. So my first book had come out, Finding Faith.
Yeah.
And
which was a great read, by the way.
Thank you, bro. And so there used to be a guy before you got there. His name was Dan. And Dan had read my book. And
really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so in my book, I talk about working at what I just talked about, MX Communications. And he's like, hey, you want to come work here or whatever? Now, wow. At the time, I was walking by faith with God.
Yeah.
I had gone 18 months without a paycheck. And God was
my
like,
my wife would be like, boy, you better go do something.
Yeah, well, I wasn't, no, I shouldn't say that because I had the job at the bookstore before then, but I had been working for a long time without a paycheck and I was walking by faith. Amen. And I was a newlywed and, you know, excited to see what God was, where he was going to take me. And so this job comes out of nowhere and they're like, we'll pay you this money, but the money isn't like super great by no stretch, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, it's a foot in the door. We can see what happens. Well, within 4 months in tech, this is where when you walk in what God has for you and you do things that you're passionate about, not worried about the money part of it, God's going to open up them doors. I'm trying to encourage
folks. Amen. Look, he'll do it.
Within 4 months of working there, we had gotten Let's Change St. Louis. I was the first paid person to get paid to do a show on the station in the shows in the station's history. Everybody else who was working there didn't have a show.
How did you even know to have wisdom to facilitate that? Like, to That's even good. Say, I had this idea. Like, how did it come together? Did you ask them to pay you for the show, or did they offer that? How did
So, it sort of, like, God had to start moving stuff around. So, like, when I got there, they hired me as a board op, right? So, I'm board oping some shows.
Yeah.
And it was right around the time that the sports guys were leaving. So, there used to be a sports section of this station.
Yeah.
And they all left to go to a different radio station.
Gotcha.
And so it opened these big gaps within our programming. Okay. And so Christmas time came around.
Yeah.
Really, it was Thanksgiving time. And they were like, hey, we want to do like a Christmas-themed show where we're just going to play like Christmas songs. And you know, Santa's coming to town and that kind of stuff.
You know,
stuff,
the
right?
Mariah Carey stuff.
Yeah. And we played a lot of it. Okay. Yeah. But they were like, we want someone to like sort of introduce the songs and DJ
look
stuff.
At that.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I can do that. I used to do that kind of stuff before, you know. But I was like, do you mind if I do like you know, a little bit extra, you know? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. So
this is very vague. A little bit extra.
I forget exactly how it came up, but I started doing segments on, you know, like different things in town and start talking about like, you know, Christmas lights and, you know, have you seen these Christmas lights? I don't put my Christmas lights up, you know. And you start you have little bits or whatever that I would throw into these things.
Yeah.
And so that was the like step one, right?
Wow.
And so all of a sudden I'm getting paid to do that, right?
Yeah.
And then step two was, hey, I want to do this on with my own stuff.
The light bulb comes on.
Yeah, I was like, all right, so if they're willing to let me do this, what else might they be willing? And so
we
had this vision for Let's Change St. Louis. I'd had it for a long time. And so I walked into Bert, our old boss's office.
Yep, good old Bert.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, I got this idea to do the show.
Yeah.
I said, I want to be in drive time. You just lost a bunch of people. I was like, you ain't got nobody to replace them with, but how about giving me that time and I'll try and sell spots for it.
Yeah.
And so he was like, all right, well, you know, as long as you can sell the spots. And so that's how we met you. We're calling you. We're calling everybody in town. Yeah. Hey, come support this show.
Yeah.
And so the time we added it up. So if we would have paid for all that time, it would have cost $60,000.
Wow.
We got it for free.
Whew. Praise God.
And they were paying me.
Yeah.
And even though it was like a little hourly rate,
I'm
still getting paid to do this thing. And now our voices are in front of however many thousands of people or hundreds. It depends on the day.
Depends on the tens.
Yeah. but we were there. And so that started that. And then eventually, of course, that led to the new John Simmons show, which we did on the other station that you were the board op for many, many of our episodes. So
It was definitely a privilege to be a part on that side of the glass, man, because it got a chance. It was a firsthand view of good radio for me. John, you're one of those guys who prep and plan and execute. And to be able to be on the other side of the glass and watch you do that gave me so many jewels and gems and helped prepare me for what I didn't know God had for my next season, yo.
Yeah, so we're at the station. We're working together. And like you said, we're doing the show and you're getting fed into this, you know? Like, and so in the meantime, you're like in the machine, man.
Yeah.
So you're I see you, and you did something better than I did at the station, which was like
use up all the toilet tissue.
my man. So you're very outgoing. Like I can be outgoing, but it's a hardship for me. I mean, I'm an introvert by nature. I feel like you're my extrovert.
An extroverted side that busts out of the introverted side sometimes, you know.
Yeah, so a key point would be that there was this group that did like a Oh, what was it? The show was about weed, or it had drugs.
Are you talking about Hoosier Sophisticated?
Yes. Yes. So this is an example. They were a show that was on our radio station.
Yeah.
Different from my Christian programming.
Yeah.
It was by your own time radio station, folks. It was, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about law?
Yeah.
You want to talk about trees? You want to talk about Jesus? It didn't matter.
Prostate cancer. It was all across the board.
We were just trying to make some money because the sports guys left. So yeah. it didn't matter. And so it caused this ripple effect of shows to show up. And
yeah.
one of the things you did great was you were really like interested, at least on the surface, what from my perspective, like in everybody who walked in the door, including those guys. And like, they were like, this is our buddy Integrity. Like this guy, like I was never treated like that.
Oh, stop it, John. People no, love you, man.
No, I know people like me, but I'm saying they love Integrity. Oh. They wanted that. You became a part of a lot of shows, even without even like asking to be
yeah.
or anything like that. They'd be like, yeah. they would just introduce you as yeah. like sort of their producer at times, not just that show, but other shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It stems from me just having a heart to serve. You know, I feel like the Lord puts us in places and puts us in spaces for time to serve and to shine a light, man, not a shine a light on me, but allow God's light to shine through me wherever I'm at, man. And I think that's where the favor amongst those other radio co-hosts came from, is just me operating in the spirit to serve, man, and shine God's light.
Yeah.
And he got his praise, he got his glory out of it all.
Yeah, I think I left before you did.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what was your time at the end of things there?
It was good, man. I actually had got a buddy of mine higher than Danny, because I started to feel my season starting to shift there. You know, I operated in that spirit of servanthood until the end. It was a great run. Interesting enough, almost a year to the date of your Facebook post, me being introduced to the position, a new position came available. Almost a year to the date, bro.
Come on.
Yeah, man. If you want to go into that.
Yes, what was it?
So around the time, I can kind of tell like God was shifting me when I was at GNU, and you know, my buddy Danny had got on and he was doing really great. And I'm just like, okay, God, what's next? You know, I felt like I was learning, I was growing, I've seen great radio, I worked under some great shows. And I had been interning at the time for a local station called Joy FM and Boots Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just connecting, you know, it's all about relationships. Look, people are doors. You never know who that person is going to be that next door that you walk through. So you got to be nice and kind to people. My mama said you could be entertaining the angels, so don't be mean and snobby, because it could be that person to take you to that next season, or be the door into that next season. So I had been interning for Joy FM and Boost, and me and the program director over there, he was program director at the time, DJ Mike Kausman, we had started playing Words with Friends. It's a game on iPhone. He yeah. was smashing me, kicking my butt. I'm like, how is this?
First off, you don't tell him that you were losing on purpose, because he was like...
Look, I'm trying to get in good, but he's really good with words. Like even today when he sends emails, just like, is that even a word? I got to look it up and learn it myself. Proclivity, propensity. What does this mean? So we had started growing a relationship, man. And the late night show, going back to the late night, doing the night shows, the overnight shows. They had a show called The Late Night DNA. It was two DJs, Danae and Aaron. And they were transitioning out of radio to do full-time YouTube. At least that's what I heard. And now the overnight position at Boost Radio is available. So Mike had been seeing this cool, calm, collected guy around town who he had been destroying in Words with Friends. So he said, I was the first person he thought about.
That's awesome.
And he sends me an email and he's like, yo, are you interested in a position in radio here at Boost? This is literally almost, I had to go check the dates because it blew my mind. I didn't realize it until I was writing my book. And I'm looking at, I dug back through Facebook and find the original post that you posted. And I looked at the date. Then I went and looked at the date from when Mike sent me the email about possibly being there at Boost. It was almost a year to the date. And I'm like, this is a God thing. Went up there, did the interview. He said that it was a ton of people that interviewed that had more experience than me,
mm-hmm.
but they hired me based on my humility. And I'm like, praise God.
Yeah. You've always been a humble guy, man. Always willing to lift people up beside yourself, you know,
amen.
In a space that we're in, where people are really trying to push what God has for them, their talents and skills to the front, right? Yeah. So, you know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's like we're in a world where there's 5,000 singers a day, you know, or 10,000 podcasters upload an episode every day, whatever it looks like, you know, we're in a big sea. And so, you know, egos, just like in Hollywood and other places, exist in Christian things, you know what I'm saying? People think they got the best, and you know.
And, but it's God doing it through me. But okay.
And you're always one of the first ones to say that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case with everybody. So I could totally see that that was it's what draws people to you no matter what. A good friend is not someone who's like, look at what I did. They're like, look at what you did, man. That's awesome. You did great. You know, and you're very good. Your post on social media all the time was like, hey, support this person. Hey, support them, you know. And that's just a little thing you do that goes a long way, as you can see.
Yeah, I'm so grateful, man. Like, because God has given me a platform. I don't say like I got this huge platform, but he's given me one. Well, what do I do with this platform? I devote it back to the Lord, man. If I see somebody who's doing something that's great, that can benefit so many people, why would I not support it? Why would I not push it? That's what we want. We want good things and great things to go forth, because there's so much bad stuff out there, so much negative stuff. You hear people say, well, bad news travels faster than good news. Well, let's do something about it. Let's put the good news out there. If I got a friend who just released a song that spoke life to me, I'm going to post it. I'm going to share it and hashtag support. Somebody was like, man, you need to get hashtag support on the back of your shirt. But that's important to me, man. See that. You know, I want to see people around me growing and learning and inspiring and impacting other people, man. That's what it's about.
Yeah. So let's get back. You get called on, you get hired at Boost.
Yeah.
Which, for those who don't know, Boost is like sort of like the youthful Christian music.
Yeah.
They call it
positive pop hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Your Lecrae's, your Andy's, your NF's, your Hovies. It's basically a great alternative to secular hip hop. Same banging beats, same dope lyrical content, but you're getting Jesus.
Yeah, but it sort of popped up in the last, you know, 5-10 years.
Yeah,
it becoming popular, right?
It's a new format. Yeah,
and so when you get hired on, though, you don't have, you know, you did like DJ stuff, like
I did like Traffic at GNU. Yeah. I did like some DJing gigs through my own personal company, but not to this capacity when I got there. Yeah.
So what was it like for you, the transition into that?
It was great, man. The learning curve was a lot easier to walk through, because people like Mike Kausman, Nearly Time, he goes by Nearly Time. If you listen to Booze, you know what I'm talking about. People like J-Bo, they kind of took me under their wing to help me grow. And I praise God, because some people, look, they'll look at you as competition. You the new guy coming in,
trying to take my spot.
You know, and I just came in just being my normal self. My wife would always tell me, honey, just be yourself. You know, and I just came in being myself. They took me under their wing, showed me the ropes, helped me to grow and expand very quickly. And they tell me that all the time, man. Like, over these years being new in radio, you've come a long way in a short amount of time. And that's contributed all to God, man, putting the right people in places around me.
Yeah, God's good at that. You know, when you're writing God's sentence for your life,
yeah,
not only will he put you in places unexpected, but he's going to open up doors that you never saw coming. Ooh-wee. You know,
I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, because when you don't see, this is the best part about God, is that he knows what's coming.
Yeah.
But you have to say yes to that first part.
Yeah.
By faith.
You know, somebody told me, it was like, you don't got to see the whole staircase in order to take the first step.
That's right.
And I look at, that's life, yo. You just got to have faith. and understand that, like John says, God has a sentence for your life.
That's right. Got the shirt on and everything. Yeah, see this? People,
whoop.
Go get one somewhere. I don't know who's selling them, but go make one. Go make one up. But you got to take that first step by faith. And that's what you did when you answered that Facebook post that I put up. You know what I'm saying? That was a step of faith.
Yeah.
You didn't know that it was about to get you a job at Boost Radio. Because, and the other thing that God does is that he moves the pieces, right? So God got me a call from Dan.
Come on
that
now.
Put me in the radio station 3 weeks before the sports people were all going to go away, right?
Yeah.
God puts you at Boost Radio 5 seconds before this other night shift person is about to go away, right? So you're talk about chess pieces,
bro.
God knows the story already, and like, bro, we can't see the thing that God's doing for us right now that has not happened.
I'm telling you, it's people in rooms mentioning your name in good light. Opportunities are coming your way. You just gotta hang in there and know that, trust God's plan. Trip Lee said something on social media yesterday. He was like, not only do I trust my life to God, but I trust my goals. Mm-hmm. He was like, we got our own personal goals, our own personal aspirations that we're, you know, that we want to attain or accomplish ourselves. But what if what God has for you is better than what we think is best for our life. He's like, you got to give your goals to God as well. Yeah. So that's what I did, man. I give my goals to God. Look, God, I may want this. I may want to do that. I may want to accomplish this, but it'll pale in comparison to what you want me to do with this life that you've given me. So
Proverbs says, a man's heart writes his plans. Ooh-wee. God guides his steps.
Come on now. That's so it.
You can make them up. And I can tell you that when God told me I was going to start Testimony House, and which was 10 years ago this year.
Yeah.
It looked different than
it's been
it looked
10 years already, man.
It looked different on my sheet of paper, my vision board for Testimony House. It looks different today than what I wrote down. But I don't know where the end result is.
Yeah. So it's still going.
We're still in the middle of it. It ain't shut the doors yet. And I've been blessed along the way. I can look backwards. You know, it's hard to do the other way, right? You can't look into the future. But you can look backwards and you say, I see God in that, and that, and that, and that, and that, and that.
Yeah.
And my road has been so spectacular, and I love seeing other people do it because it's not – unfortunately, I don't feel like – I think you're one of these people, but I don't feel like enough people in my Christian relationships are actively pursuing what God has for them. Yeah. I think they're able to serve others with God heart. Yeah. I think they're able to commit to fellowshipping with the Lord and growing in their, you know, wisdom and knowledge of God's word and how to walk it out.
Yeah.
But there's something over here that people are sort of not interested in as much, which is they know God has a plan for them. They've heard that at church.
Yeah. They're going to hear it from you.
But they're not searching for it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, hey, Saturday, I'm going to go pray and ask God what my, you know, Saturday, I'm taking the kids to the soccer.
Yeah.
That's not God's plan for you. That's.
Bro, look, one of the things I've learned, me and my wife, we've been through some intense therapy. We started 2019 and we went hard at it. One of the things that our therapist would grill in us is that communication is a two-way street. Like, if me and my wife want to communicate effectively, not only do I have to talk, I have to listen. A lot of times we say or tell God what we want, what we want to do, what we want, but we miss the part in listening to what God is saying. We just be moving. I know I've operated in a spirit of busyness before and miss, if I'm moving that fast and I'm doing so much, I'll miss what God is trying to tell me in that moment. So I've learned to slow down and listen. You know, if I'm praying and bombarding the throne for God, for things I want, I gotta listen as well. I gotta have my spiritual ears open to hear what God is saying, because if I don't, I'm gonna be misdirected. You know, I'm gonna be off path. I'm not gonna be going the way that God wants me to go, man. And you take the long way around a short street that God has for you. You know,
it's one of the things that you begin to see in people's lives, though, when they are walking out what God has for them, is you start to see those open doors. And for you, as I was watching you from the opposite side, since we weren't working together anymore, we weren't as closely connected. We saw each other from time to time.
Yeah.
And when I saw the door start to part for you, I see you not only doing your like one-on-ones from inside the studio or whatever, you know, here I am, it's overnight DJ Integ, you know, and you got the new DJ Integ moniker and you're just going to town. And then I'm seeing you, you know, next to Lecrae at some concert, or I'm seeing you, you know, hosting some other thing. And I'm like, those are the new things that have opened up because you stepped out in faith and you're walking and chasing God's plan for your life. Yeah. So what was it like as those things started to happen? Cause it wasn't just, hey, here's the show. Here's a nighttime overnight show, which I'm sure had its own challenges considering.
Having five children. First and foremost, I want to say, I contribute a lot of my radio success to you, John.
I appreciate that. It's not necessary, but
I know you're a humble guy and you won't say it, but I'm gonna say it about you, man. I contribute a lot of where I am now to us just growing our relationship. You even just putting that Facebook post out there, man. If it was meant, I know God would have made a way, but he used you, and I'm so grateful for you doing that, man. As God continued to open up new doors, and as he continues to open up new doors, I'm just forever grateful. Like, you know, we end up down in Nashville for the Dove Awards last year and got a chance to be in the room with some of the real movers and shakers in the industry. It was just a humbling experience.
You got on stage and I was like, my boy's on stage with them.
It was crazy, man, how that came together, because it was a last minute thing. They had this new artist showcase for all of the Dove Award artists that were performing on the big stage that next day. And this was like a small, intimate, just environment with people that were a part of making the Dove Awards happen, record label execs, producers, all that in the same room. and they asked little old DJ Integ to host. And I'm like, okay, let's host. I just think it's being ready too. You know, even if you're scared,
be ready in season and out of season.
Be ready in season and out of season, man. So I just try to stay ready.
Yeah. So yeah. The Dove Awards, and what else was happening that you were like, when you got home at night, you were like, babe, you didn't see what happened?
Bro, look, we got to the Dove Awards, and, you know, we had like a media thing set up. We got a chance to interview some artists. I got to see some of the people that I've been seeing Allow God use them for years in the entertainment space on the Christian side, man. Got to see Erica Campbell. I've been watching Erica Campbell since my mom used to listen to her when I was in the in the car as a kid.
That's awesome.
Got to see her. Got to see the guy who played Jesus in The Chosen, which was crazy.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan Rumi.
Rumi. Mm-hmm. Got to see him, man. David and Tamela Mann was there. It's just, it was weird. I was weirdly, like, grateful, because I'm like, you start feeling like, God, do I deserve to be here? And I'm like, I'm where God needs me to be. You know what I'm saying? So those are the things that I'm like tremendously grateful for. If God doesn't do anything else, he's already did enough. You know what I'm saying?
I look at my four kids and say that, you know, I think.
Come on now.
10 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord, and I had no idea where it was going to end up. Now, he gave me a vision, and in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this is where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
Having four kids, and you with five now, bro. He's trying to set the pace here. I don't know if I can keep up. I might.
You could do it. You got one more in you, John. One more in you.
So tell me about your wife and your family and what that's like.
Sure, man. We have a musical family, me and my
like
wife.
Like Partridge Family? Like Jackson 5?
Hopefully one day. Look, we're still working on it, man. Me and my wife, we met doing music almost 13 years ago, man. I was doing Christian hip hop at the time with a group called The City Takers. We taking back the city for God.
Yeah.
me and my brother-in-law, he's actually opening up a church now, praise God. He's launching that church. He always had that on his life. I could see it. But anyway, I met my wife. She walks up one day after we ministered some songs at church, and she was like, yo, I sing. So she ended up coming to the studio, rocking out with us. And I just saw her as my sister in Christ. I didn't see like a marriage being birthed from that initial interaction. And we just started to grow, do more songs. And then one day, you know, just the spark happened, and we just like, we kind of like each other. So we started dating, we got married. Now we're five kids in, 13 years. And that musical element that was in us, that's still in us, is I can see it transpiring our children. You know, if you look at our YouTube channel, you'll see them, they're musical, yo. And it's not something that we force on them. Joshua's noodling around with the keyboard now, and they all harmonize and sing together. And I'm like, it may be something here. And I just would ask them, my wife would just ask them sometimes, do you guys want to do music? And they like, yeah, all excited as kids. Do you really want to do music? Because we have some resources in place that we could actually do something with this. So we'll see as time happen, as it grows, what they want to do. But the boys are playing baseball now. My daughters, they want to get in ballerina. But whatever they choose to allow God to do in their lives, we're going to support them. We got them in a good school, man. That's a Christian private school, teaching them about the word. They come home every day from school reminding me about scriptures that I forgot about. I'm like, thank you for reminding me about that. You know, they're light years in their biblical knowledge at their age than I was at their age. So I'm grateful, man.
Yeah. We have so much in common about kids and stuff. So we both had a lot of kids in a short amount of time. we both have amazing wives who have done so much for us, right? My kids are also in a Christian school that I could not be more appreciative of.
Bro,
I tell you what, every time they come home and they say something I didn't teach them, or they sing some song that I never heard before, that money is worth
it. It's worth it, bro. It's worth it. Some months you like, all right, now you're getting a little tight.
Why you keep asking for? They want us to give them money because they dress down on Fridays. They're in uniforms the rest of the week, and I'm like, all right, can we stop it with this dollar billing me to death every Friday?
Bro, I'm telling you, man. So they gotta pay to dress down.
That's
a good fundraising opportunity.
Yeah, for the
right
seniors,
there.
It's for their something, or they who knows, but they do something. And but that school is one of the best things, and something I didn't think I was gonna get to do because you know. School costs money, you know?
Bro, look, this is all new for me. I didn't go to a private school as a kid.
Me neither. I wasn't even saved, so I wouldn't have got sent to the Christian one. But from the time that I got married and we went through premarital counseling and we talked about how many kids we wanted, we talked about, at the time, we were talking about like Duggar style, like 19 kids and counting. But
You, I can see you managing 19 kids.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a little
more gray hair probably. Yes, you know.
But I was 30 years old when I was 31 when we had our first one. So yeah. it's the idea of me having 19 is sort of out of the window. But
yeah.
we had a back to back. We had our first couple, and then a 2 year pause, and we had them two more back to back.
Yeah.
And it was always on my heart to send them to a Christian school.
Yeah.
I wanted, and so that was part of our premarital discussion. However.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our oldest is about to go into school, and we don't have this money,
bro.
Lord. And I've been praying this prayer every day for 5 years, Lord. Where is this money for private school?
Amen.
Well, I started a new job at the church
yeah.
in June.
Yeah.
They start school in August.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, I got the money for this thing to start happening.
That's it, man.
Faith is answered when
bro. Bro, faith unlocks so much, bro. Like, me and my wife, you know, early when I was in GNU and we were trying to figure things out, like I say, I took a pay cut, but I got this labor of love that I'm into, and I feel God calling me into it. I'm like, God, I don't know how we're going to do this. People would just pop up at our door with like bags of chicken. God put it on my heart. And we wasn't like vocal about what we were going through financially. People would just pop up at our door like, you know, God put it on our heart to bring you guys some, just bring us stuff like
yep.
that. Those are God moments. And it lets you know that you're right where you need to be, even when the journey seems tough. So
yeah.
I praise
or the
God.
Goals that you have haven't been fulfilled yet, because like you and
yeah.
me both, we both have goals that have not been fulfilled.
Yeah.
But it's about the journey. Everybody says that. I think it's hard to understand until you really get older,
bro.
Like,
when I look back, it started to make sense a little bit.
Yeah, that journey thing is real. And it's like, I'm always like, when is Testimony House going to arrive and be there and be the thing that I want it to be? But
yeah.
like,
yeah.
It is the thing that's
yeah, yeah. And it's the only way to go is to grow bigger and better. Whatever God chooses, but it's growing, bro. Like, I look at that. I don't know if the viewers know about this picture you got on the wall over there about the open warehouse space. You said you took that 10 years ago,
yeah.
and it's possible about to be a reality. That's faith.
Yeah.
10 years. Just imagine how long Abraham and Sarah was waiting on their baby.
25 years.
Waiting and waiting and waiting. God could have brought the promise quicker, or he could have told them about the promise later. You know what I'm saying? But it was meant for them to wait, man. And I always say, God, if I got to wait, help me wait well. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
So you and me both have waited for things. I want to bring this back to the kids, though, because for me, being a parent, being a father, is something that I never saw coming. I didn't
yeah.
want kids
yeah.
when I was in my gambling addiction. I certainly didn't want kids. I was very selfish.
Yeah.
I would have never said that out loud, but I was very selfish.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of like being tied down to someone or some things
yeah.
know, was
yeah.
was an ideal that I didn't want to have. But
yeah.
so when they showed up, the life, God had already changed my heart.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be, I'm like, I want to be a dad for them. Like
Ooh.
The dad, like my dad died when I was younger. I didn't
yeah.
know what a real dad was like.
Yeah.
Or, you know, my dad might've been great. I just don't have that experience.
Yeah.
But now that I have a heavenly father who's taught me through his word how to do some things, I was
Man.
Like, I'm going to apply this.
Yep.
I'm going to apply this word to my relationship with these kids. And it's turned out to be this amazing thing. Now, for somebody like you and me, who I feel, I might be putting words in your mouth, but like you and me are like high, type A, let's go do it.
Yeah.
I want to go
yeah.
kill a bear and drag it home. I want to go make an album. I want to make a podcast. I want to write
yeah.
a book. I want to go like we
like back to back.
Yeah,
yeah.
like we got projects and things to do, and we
yeah.
want to go tackle
yeah.
something and take it home. And so,
yeah.
A lot of people like trailblazers. You think about trailblazers, right? People who have like created things, good businesses, Steve Jobs of the world, and this type of thing.
Yeah,
like their family lives are always sort of like.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby. Warren Buffett, he's got
Bro.
Like two wives.
Bro.
Like his hard life.
Look, I always said if I had to sacrifice my family for whatever I feel or I deem as successful, I don't want it. My family being a well-knit, loving, God-fearing family is my success. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
when it comes to whatever, being on big stages, having a number one morning show in radio, all of that stuff is not the goal. My family, like I hear about so many musicians, John, that are at the top of their game, but their family life, they had to sacrifice so much. They're trying to repair. And I never wanted that. I never wanted to have to go back and repair. All right, we got all this money. We got this big house. We're super successful. Now I got to repair not being here when they were growing up. I never wanted that. And I praise God that he gave me, you know, the thought of that and not sacrifice my family. So
it's one of the things that was so important to me, but it's also one of the things that's hard to manage because I want it. I have goals and dreams that I want to accomplish.
Yeah.
I also have to get dinner on the table and laundry done. And there's like 18 loads of laundry and it's never ending.
Oh my goodness.
How do you manage?
You know how to manage laundry with multiple kids? You don't.
You don't. That's never a better statement.
Bro, it applies to me and my family. We got laundry right now that we have to do because we're going on a wedding. We're going out of town for a wedding, bro. And it's just like, all right, just find something to wear for the wedding that I can wash. And yep. We make it happen. Look, breaking it up into manageable pieces.
Yeah, and so when God put something in our hearts, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He shows us and gives us wisdom on how to manage all this. And that's why I think the world sort of misses the whole thing. Because the world will tell you, you need to go out there and be the best you can be and do the things that you want to accomplish so that you can give that back to your family.
Yeah.
But I see example after example of men who've gone out there and they've conquered something.
Yep.
But the relationships in their life are fractured or missing. It's like, I think you can have both.
I think you can too.
Yeah. I know you can have it because I have it.
Come on now.
But it's not easy to do because you really have to have a mind and you have to have your mind in both worlds.
Yep.
You can't be distant in one and not the other. Yep. You know, it's like, I can't focus entirely on my family because then my ministry and my jobs, you know, will decline. You know, my opportunities, my relationships that I'm building there. But if I just focus on this, my kids are going to be like, where's daddy?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a conversation I want to have either.
I got it wrong for so long. You know, just being completely honest and transparent. I got it wrong for so long. And it was just through me and my wife going through some intense therapy, just understanding that, one, this is important to me, but at the same time, what I put in these kids, how I love my wife, that's going to outlast any of this other stuff. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we started the YouTube channel. Cause I'm like, how can we still be productive?
Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know, so you used to have a YouTube channel that was like based on your music and sort of like your world. And it is now since transferred recently to like your family channel.
Yep. And it's grew greater and bigger since then. Cause people want to see the ins and outs of a family. We show us if the kids are out of place. You show us yelling at the kids. You'll see us in those good teachable moments. You know, we show it all, man. And I think that's the most important thing to me, like being able to show who we are as a family, our biblical principles, and just have fun doing it together instead of me as a dad going out trying to provide and then missing them all day and missing the mark with being there as a present father,
making that part of it. So
I
started doing these reels every day.
I love it too, bro. I love it. Like day, what day are you on now?
This is 138.
Praise God.
139, something like that. And it's hard. It's hard to keep.
I can imagine. Yeah. Look, my hat goes off to you, John, because sometimes I forget that I need to do the simple stuff. And you're remembering to do everything as a dad, as a family, with your studio, as well as post every day.
And it's turned into, this has been the busy season.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say busy because it's like I'm doing this work for no reason. I'm to keep myself busy. Like, it's been a struggle. I've had conversations with God, like, because this was a God thing, because I was like, God, you know, I really want to be invested, you know, in social media and doing this kind of thing. And this idea got planted in my head late last year about this. And I now know why I'm doing it. And I'm going to be telling us people why in the next couple weeks. But I didn't know why then.
Yeah.
God knew why. Again, I had to step out in faith. John, are you going to do this, do this thing? And so I started doing it.
It's like, take that boy up to the mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
Put him on the altar. God, what am I doing, God?
Okay. Because by day three of me doing these reels, I was like, this is a lot of work.
Yeah.
I already got a lot of work. If I don't have a job, I got four kids. That's a lot of work, you know? But I got four kids, and I got my own small business. I got my ministry. And now
you know what I'm saying? Wives need time.
And all of a sudden, I got to spend 90 minutes a day
doing
this reel. Not to mention all the time, I'm like, say something, give me a hug, do something, you know, but the point of that was, is that I brought my family into that
Yeah.
And it's been such a blessing.
Amen.
To see my kids like be involved in like my world of like making videos.
Yeah.
And like having conversations with them I wouldn't have probably had if I wasn't trying to capture a moment from today.
Yeah.
You know, I look back at my pictures that we took last year.
Yeah.
Because most of the time when I had my phone before, I was just, hey, we're at the zoo, let's take a picture. And like that was the one thing.
Yeah.
I now have like video of every day. Like it's like this, you know, you wonder how like God keeps track of things. Like I just look at a phone, I go, whatever technology he's got is better than this, right?
Yeah, so
he's got something he's scrolling on. He's like, I want to see John from July of 1983. And he's just scrolling.
Bro, it turns into like a modern day. If you do it right, it turns into like a modern day like photo album. They can see themselves growing up. Because when you think, if it had not, my mom got me in, my grandmother got me into doing filming. She had this big camcorder, John, the one you put on.
Oh, yeah. I used to have one of those in my house. Yeah.
For the kids, you don't know what VHS tapes are, but they were like tapes that you put down in the camcorder and then you press record and it's different. It's kind of like a phone.
Your great grandparents probably got some at their house too.
You've
probably seen them before.
So she would film us, and that's what allowed me to be able to look back and see myself as a kid. And that got me into filming. So now I love filming because my kids will be able to go back to when they were 3 and 4 and 5 and 12 and look and see life.
Yeah.
And if you do it right, and you allow the world to see it as well through social media or whatever you choose, if you do it right, they have those memories forever, man. And that's important to me.
Yeah, and it is for me too, because part of me, I'm conflicted in my heart many days.
Yeah.
Because part of me is so, I'm so passionate about not only achieving, but helping others achieve what God has for them.
Amen.
And that's that takes up a lot of real estate in my
mind. That's a gift, bro. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people are just for self. That's a gift, bro.
But I also have this like part of my brain is like, I want these kids to succeed.
Yeah.
And I want to spend time with them and I want to hang out with them and I don't want to be this despondent parent.
Yeah.
But juggling the two.
Yeah.
And then I get work calling, and then they're like, we've got 4 services this week, and we need you at all of them, and we need you to edit 6 videos in between, you know, and, and all of a sudden it's like, and then I got my podcast, and I'm like, who's going to come on this week, you know, and then I got to make 3 reels for that so I can try and get some.
<It's> like, and that's the dope thing about God, man. He'll take that. And,
I'm trying to get like my capacity. I've realized
is
way bigger than I ever knew. Like as much as I'm like, oh my gosh, like I could stop doing this at any time. But at the same time, I can do all of these things.
Praise God.
You know, and eventually there's going to be a team around me,
you
know, in whatever area God continues to move me forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to take us from being the people who are the team members.
Yep.
He's going to put us in leadership positions because that's how the Spirit of God works.
Yep. I mean,
you see throughout the Bible that people get lifted up into leadership who show the characteristics of leadership and who are following what God wants to do for their lives. So I know that I'm trying to do that.
Hey,
so
you are, man.
There better be a team around me at some point because I can't edit all these reels.
It's your call to action right now. Where's my team?
I need some Testimony House team members, y'all. Come on over. And I need some editors. And anyway, so managing with the kids, though, what has been some struggles for you in that area?
Yeah. Definitely as far as duties at home, keeping the house clean. We like keeping a clean house. And literally, you can clean the house, and I'm sure you know this, and 20, 35 minutes later, it looks
the minutes.
Bro.
Seconds.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, did you guys just watch me vacuum and wipe down the counter, and now you're spilling juice and dropping chips on the floor? So that's one thing. But we our kids are at the age now where we're giving them age-appropriate duties. Mm. Like, Joshua can wash the dishes. Well, he can wash them and load the dishwasher. Reggie can take the trash out. The girls can make their bed up. So we're teaching them that kind of stuff so they can grow with those healthy habits as well. But just making sure that I still take time to date my wife. That is very important because my wife, one of her love languages is quality time.
Oh, mine too.
So, you know, so I got to take time to date her. And it can be a challenge when you got 2 baseball games in 1 week. You got my wife, you know, maybe she got called in for a day at work. Then I got something I got to do. So just making time to date her and then just making sure that we manage our money properly. That's very important, bro, because it's easy to have so much to do and then you're eating out every day and you look at your budget at the end of the month, 2-3 grand on eating out. So just those are some of the things that we've been really proactive about trying to stay on top of.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about some of that. So we put, so every year, first of the year, we do our vision list as a family and as individuals. We got the kids doing it for the first time this year. Older two kids.
Wow. Praise
God.
Wrote
down their vision list. And like, my I want to go to Six Flags and like, you know, like in Chuck E. Cheese and stuff like that, you know, but she's gone to Chuck E. Cheese once. I'm like, amen. You better scratch that off your list. You better thank God. You better get on.
Yeah.
Start doing your thankful dance. But on my wife and my's list was we wanted to go on 12 dates. We're like one a month.
Wow.
We're just going to put it as a vision.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because we had never been intentional about dates before.
Yeah.
You know, you just get one when grandma offers.
When it comes.
Yeah. You just take it.
I keep the kids this weekend for
great.
Real.
See. Right. Yeah. But it especially as and you know this more than most. This is a disclaimer to all new parents. Okay. Mm. Listen to this carefully. Take the babysitting now, because the more you have, the less often it comes.
Hey, man. Look, we used to have like six babysitters across the board.
That's right.
My sisters, my wife's sisters, the grandparents. But now it's like, they'll be like, well, we'll keep two of them.
Yeah.
Or you can
I don't want you to have half.
I want them all. Take them all, you know. So, yes, great advice.
Yes.
Look, I can give some parenting advice. Look, because nobody told us how laundry would be with multiple children. Nobody told us how you're going to step on toys at the middle of the night and want to say some words you didn't learn in Sunday school. Nobody tells you that stuff.
It.
Look, we need to have a whole segment on just that.
Oh, I'm sure we could talk for days about this.
Yeah.
The kids.
Yeah, I like the deep breath you took.
So we made this vision to go on all these dates.
Yeah.
And so 12 dates, one a month. That's like, and that to us was like,
yeah,
we're reaching.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Because we don't have nobody lined up. Because the people, my family's small, not in town.
Yeah.
Megan's family's big. They live further away. And they're also, some of them are older. They don't want to watch all the kids. We'll take one of them or two of them.
Yeah.
No, that is not a date.
It is not.
And so we're already at seven. We're in May.
Praise God.
And it's I attribute it entirely to the fact that we put it on our vision board. We prayed about it.
Amen.
And we stepped out in faith that said, it's not like we're calling people every weekend. Hey, can you watch the kids? Hey, can you watch the kids?
Yeah.
Doors. You said doors.
Bro. And I think with all couples, man, you really have to be intentional. Like, a marriage don't just work.
Oh, no.
I learned that like the first 4 or 5 years, my communication sucked. I had to be intentional about growing in my communication.
You just like weren't a talker, or what do you mean?
So I could be dealing with something internally and not express it to my wife in a way so she can understand what's going on with me. And then I would expect her to automatically know what's going on with me without even telling her.
Yeah.
So I had to be intentional about growing in my communication, and I have, bro. I sought out therapy. I talked to, I got a bunch of people in my life who've been married for 10 plus years more than me, and they've went through some of the same things, and they've given me tips and tricks because I wanted my communication to be better. So now our kids can see healthy communication between mom and dad, so they'll know what their marriage could look like if, you know, when God provides them their mate. So I'm very intentional about that. So whenever you're in your marriage or whenever you're growing in your relationship, be intentional about what you want to be better in. It don't just get better by itself.
It certainly doesn't. Now, I thought that the woman that I married, we went 5 years without fighting.
Praise God.
Year six, there was a couple. I wouldn't say fights. Me and my wife have never really fought.
Yeah.
But we started to, you know, not be in unity about every decision. You know what I'm saying? And like, for the first time, we're having like, Johnny, why don't you do this? Well, you never asked me to do it. Well, it's obvious that you should do that. And I'm like, to you?
Yeah.
And so, like, those are the types of things that happen in every marriage, right?
Yep.
You know, like, I can't read your mind.
Yeah.
Vice versa.
<That's>,
Like, we need to get these out on the table.
Amen.
And, you know, but it was easy for us in our early marriage before we had four kids to manage and everybody's working and all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
When it's so important that, like, look, just having the fact that I have a plan on Friday to have a podcast with integrity, that needs to be on the calendar.
Come on now. you're freeing somebody right now. You're freeing somebody.
Yeah, because not having just simple communication in place where you can say, hey, Tuesday night we're going to go out to eat at the place, but Wednesday night we're cooking.
Yeah.
Go get some taco meat at Sam's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're gonna make
those
simple things, once they're in place, makes the harder stuff easier.
Bro, I'm telling you, it makes everything fall. Me and my wife, with my busy schedule, her busy schedule, we Marco Polo every morning.
I love Marco Polo. Everybody's down on this app. It's my favorite app.
Bro, look, if I can get some stock in Marco, I will root you guys to the ends of the earth.
Dude, I'm with you, man.
We Marco every morning. That's one thing we know. And because if I'm on the air, I can still in between breaks Marco her and just talk about, okay, we'll take some meat out. I'll cook tonight. You know, because it makes the flow of our day so easy. If you don't have that plan in place, that day is going to be hectic. Enemy going to find a foothold. And before you know it, it's like, how did this day just make a left turn?
Yeah, and you're fighting about stuff at nighttime that has nothing to do with nothing, because two or three things early in the day got messed up, and you're just mad about it. And now you're arguing about something else.
Like,
symptom.
You didn't leave me enough green beans. It's like, that's just.
It wouldn't have been no problem on Wednesday, but it's Thursday and you were late to pick up the kids. Now it's a different thing. Now it's a different argument we're having. Bro. Oh, so Marco Polo, by the way, for those who don't know, is like a video text messaging app. Okay. Yeah. So it's like, instead of sending a text, hey, I'm at the store, whatever, you get on there with your face and you're like, hey, I'm going to the store today. You need anything? I love you. Also, I'm thinking about this. And you're able to like, share your thoughts in a way, and it's also it takes away, now I don't know if this is good or bad, like it takes away that phone call need, like to where we have to sit there and be like, all right, I'll talk to you later or whatever.
It's and like, you have to listen to the end, all the way to the end, in order for you to respond. Which if we're talking about something that's like really like intense, I have to hear her out. I can't object, cut her off. I gotta hear it, and then that takes me, gives me time to, okay, let me process this. Let me respond. Let me listen quickly and be slow to speak.
Yeah. Two ears, one mouth.
Bro, that's it, bro. So shout out to you, Marco Polo.
Go get some Marco Polo. So you also mentioned money. Mm-hmm. So money was a big thing for us. When I got married, obviously I just come out of a deep gambling addiction and I didn't know how to manage money well.
Yeah.
Nor did Megan, who had just come out of her parents' house and moved right in with me, ever have to manage money at all. You know what I'm saying? She just worked and put it in the bank, and if she wanted something, she bought something. And she had some money saved up, and it wasn't no big deal. And it's not that we were wasting money in terms of like, hey, let's go get a new brand new car off the lot. Let's go buy 14 computers and all this stuff, or let's go get it. Like, we didn't really have a credit card, but we just weren't managing money well. We didn't have any conversation about like, how much are we going to spend on groceries this week? What are we going to do in terms of, you know, shoes and pants and jeans? Like, how are we going to spend clothes money on? Because we're in a marriage now. You ain't just by yourself. You know, she told me like a month before we got married, she was like, I'm going to put a pin in this. We're going to come back to it.
All right.
Because she told me she put, she gave $365 to Joy FM for their fundraiser. Okay. So I want to come back to the Joy FM fundraiser.
Yeah.
That, is every 6 minutes. I don't know. I know you work there and you're not going to say nothing bad about it. And I'm all for supporting the team or whatever. Well, anyway, she told me she gave $365, to a commitment to this Joy FM before we got married. And I was like, I ain't never done nothing like that in my whole life or whatever. But it's like, she's like, it was my money. I was like, but we're married now. I was like, I think you got to ask about that kind of stuff now. It wasn't, ain't no big deal. But did she have to ask? Because we had no plan in place. We had no plan in place for how to spend the money.
It teaches you, man. Those are teachable moments, because it helps you see, like, I'm more of a saver. My wife's more of a, if we need it, I'm going to get it. We had to get to a place to where we talked about what we're going to save and what are the things that you need to get. And it took us a long time to get there. Look, the account, just being transparent, the account has been in the negative a lot of times because of not properly budgeting, not looking at things a month out, and just not putting a plan in place. And we're getting to a better place, thankfully, because we've been intentional about it.
That changed for me at the radio station. I worked at a Christian bookstore, and they had all the Dave Ramsey books on the shelf.
Yeah.
And every day I walked by it and I saw him cutting up that credit card on the front of the book. And I was like, who's this dude?
Yeah.
And I did not pick it up one time. Didn't give it a second thought. But when I got stuck, I mean stuck.
Yeah.
Doing board op for his show on GNU when I first got hired there. And all of a sudden it just starts pouring.
Downloading in there. Yeah.
And it's like, so all I heard was, I got to get out of debt. And all these people, they started screaming for their debt being gone and all this, you know?
Yeah. That debt free scream.
And that's what I was like, Megan, maybe there's something to this. I was like, because we had debt. We had acquired some debt, you know?
Yeah.
And she had her student loans.
Yeah.
and we had never thought, we just paid the monthly student loan.
Yep.
We never thought, you know what, we could probably pay this off if we worked hard enough, you know?
Yep.
And so we started following the Dave Ramsey plan, and it took 3.5 years, but we paid off $60,000 in debt.
Praise God.
Got out of debt. I've been out of debt since then.
Praise God.
And living a debt-free lifestyle. And I'll show you my car in the driveway to prove it. Daddy ain't got a brand new sports car. I will drive it till the wheels fall. We call it the blessing. I don't know if you knew that.
Hey, man. You call your car the blessing?
Hey, because we don't want that sucker breaking down no more.
Yeah.
It is the blessing.
Yeah, and then it reminds you of how you guys were intentional about, you know, making sure your finances were in place, man. Yeah. It starts with intentionality.
Yeah, and it took a lot of hard lessons with my wife on writing down the budget and being like, hey, you did this. Usually it's me. Yeah. Like you said, I'm the spender. My wife is like, she's cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's go. What you need? What the kids need? What's for dinner? I'm gonna go get it. Like,
I love it. Yeah, yeah.
But when we were trying to get out of debt, I had to roll that back. One of the things that we did to try and help somebody who's like, how can I get out of debt? I got no debt. Like, put all that money towards the debt, right? But you gotta have something in your pocket. On our budget, because the first of every month, me and my wife sit down.
Yeah.
And we say, okay, here's what we're paying out this month, and we think about all the medical bills that might come out, mm-hmm. or you know, the annual things. Hey, car insurance, our 6 month car insurance coming out, you know, this month, all this stuff. And so it's all on there.
Yep.
And we say, okay, this is what we got left over, this is what we don't have left over. We gotta try and make that up somehow. Yep. And on one of those items though, it says John's personal money. I got my $60.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? My $60, I can go to the movie theater.
Yep.
I can go get lunch. Yep. I can go out with my friend. I can do whatever I want, but I know that's my money. And it's not $60 anymore. With $60 back then, I got at least 70.
Look, you know what I'm saying? Extra. Yeah.
But what God has done in that is allowed me and my wife not only to have peace in terms of our money, but learn how to steward. I never stewarded money in my whole life. And going from being a gambling addict to somebody who was just like, okay, I'm not gambling, but I'm also not doing anything with the money successfully, right?
Yeah.
To being a person who now has a little bit more money and is able to, maybe that's why I got more money now.
You know, you're stewarding
it correctly. I stewarded it when I had nothing.
Yeah.
And now I'm stewarding it when I got a little bit more and able to put the kids into school and they do other things, you know?
One thing that really helped us is scheduling, because we would have subscriptions coming out, you know, your Netflix, Hulu. You know, whatever subscription.
Like, I don't even like that one.
Bro, look, it's like what we had to do was we had to schedule all of our bills around the time we get paid. Because things will hit. So before we started budgeting, you know, we would have our money in our account. And all right, let's get takeout tonight. You know, and we're spending. And then we're looking at the amount we got in the account. Okay, we're good. And then on the week where it's not pay week, you got all these extra things coming out. And now it's like, well, we didn't account for that stuff last week when we were looking at that amount that was in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we got everything scheduled out around the time where we know the weeks we'll get paid. And it just works now because we know when this comes in, these are all going out at that designated time. And next week when we decide to have takeout, we won't have any surprises coming out as well that's going to throw us off track. So it's working, man.
It's at what point do you think that we hit a certain number on the age factor where we started having to be adults? Like, I'm pretty sure we could probably still be stupid if we wanted to, trying to improve our lives one little step at a time, whether it's money or health. I'm still working on the health part, but you know,
same here. Yeah. I'm ashamed to even admit how long it took me. I'm gonna just say that. Look, yes, I can say I'm operating as an adult now, but it took me a while to get here, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And thank God. for amazing wives.
Oh my goodness.
Because you and me would have been stupid,
bro,
for a lot longer.
Oh my goodness.
Without them.
Bro, I know. Look, my wife, she's the logical thinker. I mean, she could be a little feisty at times, and that's what I love about her.
Yeah.
But she's the logical thinker. See me, I'll shut down and try to intuitively think about something, so it'll take me a minute, but she can come up with a solution that quick. I'm like, that works. How did you just you know, it's just like she's my other half of my brain. It just helps me make better decisions, man. I know if it wasn't for her, I would be just spinning my wheels, bro.
Yeah, my wife has always been a good guide, right? So she, yeah. my wife has been very supportive because, and again, when you have a godly wife and you, like you and I are, we're willing to go take a job that pays less because we're going where our passion and God calls us, right? It takes a certain kind of woman to be around that.
Yep.
Now, I personally think this is my personal opinion. And I also think that's the opinion of the Word of God. But God says that he sends a helpmeet, someone to help you help a man chase a vision. Now, I agree with this. Now, doesn't mean that the man's vision will pay more than the woman's vision, because my wife has made more than me for every year I've been married. And I can't help it. I keep making more money, and she keeps making more money. And I'm like, I'm trying to get you. I don't know what you want me to do. Yeah. So to have a husband, though, who, especially like me, where I'm like, I will go wherever God calls me.
Amen.
I think. So far, I've been.
Yeah. I'm like 10 of 10. Thank you, Jesus.
He told me to move to the city. I moved to the city. He told me to, you know, go to this church that was dead. And I went to the dead church. And I've done the things, you know, go to the radio station where they're not going to pay you no money because you don't see that where I'm going to take you. Start a ministry in your basement and all this stuff. And, you know, it's like, okay, I did all that.
Yeah.
But for her to be like, I'm with you.
I'm with you every step of the man. That means everything.
It means it,
bro.
It, when the world will look at you and be like, John, you should have gave that up a minute ago. And your wife goes, don't listen to them.
Yep. Bro.
Oh.
Bro. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Like, I could, you know, operating in my Christian hip-hop space, I could feel like I can come off stage. I remember, bro, I was doing a show. I got called to do a show at this bar. And I go wherever God wants me to go. I don't care where it's at. I'll go perform in a street alley if it means sharing Jesus with somebody. And I was on stage and cover kids' ears. Uh-huh. And some lady from the crowd was like, F Jesus.
Oh, no.
I'm talking about I'm in this bar. I'm rocking it out, talking about Jesus. And she yells out there. And I get off the stage and I talk to the lady. And I can tell like there was some hurt there, some church hurt probably. And my wife tells me, you know, because I'm at this moment, I'm a little discouraged. And my wife tells me, you did what God wanted you to do. And at that moment, that discouragement just lifted up off of me. And wives who are in accord, one accord with their husbands, can do that, man. And I'm so grateful for God putting our wives in our lives.
Dude, we gotta get them together, man.
We should. They would love that.
We're having a open house birthday. I'm about to turn 40. I'm turning 40.
You don't look 40, bro. You don't.
Thank you, Lord.
Like 32, 33. Like, you're wearing, you don't even have gray. Do you dye? Do you dye your hair?
This, my whole beard is gray. What are you talking about? But I mean, it looks dark because I'm black, but
it looks good. It's hiding in there. Yeah, you know, you see people with the big patches of salt and pepper. We're mostly pepper.
Thank you. Yeah, my wife says that she appreciates my black and my salt and pepper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She's like, makes you look good. So
yeah.
She didn't realize she was marrying a 40-year-old 10 years ago, but now she's got one.
Yeah.
And so she's throwing me this open house birthday party. I'm going to invite you and the family out.
Please, we would love to come.
If you have the opportunity to come out.
We got appetites now, John. I just want
to know. Oh, yes, right, because you were eating nothing but the veggies. And now you got some chicken in you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Tell me a little bit before we leave. I want to hear about the new morning show and what that's like for you.
Yeah, man. So did overnights at Boost for about 3.5 years, maybe, if I'm getting the time right. And served diligently, man. Like, it would be times I would get the kids dinner. Me and my wife would get the kids in the bath, in the bed. And I never would like to leave while they were still awoke, because I didn't like them to see daddy always leaving. So I wait till they go to sleep. I'll go into the show. Sometimes I'll be dead tired just praying, God, give me strength to get through the show. Because I would think about people who are like working overnight and like, give me something to give to them. And I would serve diligently, man. I didn't play. Like, when it came to my overnight show, I'm going to be high energy. I'm going to make sure I'm relatable. Whatever God wanted me to say, I'm going to say. And then 3.5 years in, the morning show, it was J-Bo and Yoshi. They had a fantastic morning show. And Yoshi had roots in Texas. He had came to Boost years ago to be a part, and they decided they were going back to Texas. So now J-Bo, who's the co-anchor of Yoshi, she's like, now I gotta find a co-host. So she said, without even thinking about it, the Lord put me in her mind first. So she hits me up. She's like, yo, this is what's happening. Word isn't spread yet. And would you be willing? Now, at first I was like, no, I'm good. My home life, work life balance is great. You know, I'm working for Story Stitches at the time, training up youth to do music, teaching them how to do DJing, just working with the youth. My hands was really engulfed in that. And I was doing my night show at Boost, Integrity Music Records. I was working with artists. I'm like, I got my work life, home life balance good. No. And then I told my wife, and this is where having a great God-centered wife comes into play.
Yeah.
Because my ignorance, I'm thinking like, no, this is good. And she was like, I think this could work. So we went out, we ate, we had some lunch with J-Bo and her husband. We talked about the potentials of it happening. And I'm like, okay, I can start to see this. So I'm praying about it. And I just hear God giving me confirmation, like, this is for you. Go do it. So, you know, me and J-Bo, we talked. I interviewed. I didn't, just because I'm at the station, I don't want no special privileges. I'm going through the interview process like everybody else went through the interview process. And they hired me. They hired me for the morning show, which at the time, I didn't even know that the morning show was the number one morning show in this market.
Come on, somebody.
And I'm talking about, this is Christian radio.
Yeah.
This ain't secular hip hop. This ain't whatever the banging hip hop station is at the time, the number one show. So, and this is how God sets things up. And, you know, we plan, God laughs. So I take the position, me and J-Bo, we start training, getting show ideas together, getting content together. And then a company out of the East Coast sought J-Bo out for a media position. J-Bo's husband is in the Army. Her taking this position makes it better for her husband and her to be the, it was just a great position for her family. Mm-hmm. She takes the position. So now this guy who's been doing night show for the last 3.5 years is all of a sudden thrust into this morning show position by himself. Because my co-anchor, who I was coming in to be assistant, to be an assistant to boost her and grow the show, now she's leaving. I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing? What is happening now? And everybody at the station, they just kept assuring me, it's going to be good, it's good. Hey, they made me feel like, you know, even though J-Bo was leaving and I was being put into the morning show position alone, it was good. So now, you know, and Mike Couchman's great genius, he sought out Nikki. Nikki, she'll be coming in from South Carolina. And I can say this, it's all public knowledge. She's starting in July, and we'll be starting and launching a brand new morning show at Boost Radio. And we're syndicated in 7 markets. More markets to come, man. And I'm like, okay, God.
Won't
let's
he do
go.
It?
Won't he do it?
Man, from a Facebook post to number bro. One radio show, seven cities syndicated.
Yeah.
Bro, that's a journey. It's all about the journey.
Come on now, the journey.
Because your vision wouldn't have been that. Because you wouldn't even known to think for that.
Yeah,
you
know, no way.
You would have been thinking about other things, music and songs and maybe something like that. But God was like, I got something for my man. And he's so like, he saw DJ Intake before you did.
Look, and it's funny because as I was transitioning from Christian hip hop, I still operate in the space, just not as much as a solo artist as I used to be. I've been doing a lot behind the scenes as far as producing and engineering for other artists, just helping to push and catapult them. Mm-hmm. One being my wife, Niecy J. But when I was transitioning into the DJ space, there's already a DJ Integrity. So I can't just transition mm-hmm. into the space as DJ Integrity. So okay. And my friends in the industry was already calling me Integ for short. Integ is short for Integrity. And again, DJ Mike Kausman's genius. He was like, what if you just be DJ Integ? And it just started to flow. And then now, what's up? It's DJ Integ. Now it's Integ. You know, and it's crazy how it just, I could not have predicted this, yo. It's a God thing, bro.
Yeah, it's so amazing to watch what God's doing in your life, man. I'm so blessed.
Likewise.
To have you on the show today, bro. Tell them how to find you or whatever. How to watch the show?
Integrity, spelled with the letter N, N-T-E-G-R-I-T-Y, Integrity Music Everywhere. If you want to check out our family YouTube channel, Integ Family YouTube, we have over 600,000 views, John.
That's amazing.
We're almost at 7,000 subscribers, so that's N-T-E-G. Family YouTube, subscribe, like. We love it. My kids, they love reading the comments. We love responding to the comments. So check us out, Joe.
Yeah, I'll put some links in the description. And what time can they listen to the radio show?
Central Standard Time, 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. You'll hear your boy. Yeah, Boost Radio. You can download the app, free app if you're not in one of the markets. We're in St. Louis, Chicago, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Pittsburgh. with more cities to come. You can listen there. If you don't, if you're not in one of those cities, you can download the free Boost Radio app. I'm promoting Boost, baby.
In Jesus' name. I'm so proud of you, man. I'm so proud of you, man.
You're right back at you, man.
I just pray everybody go watch his stuff. Go listen to him. The whole cities are. So
praise God.
You should too. All right, guys. Thanks for watching today's broadcast. Until next time, we pray you discover a future and a hope for your life today. We ain't trying to blend in. If you're ready, come on with us, my friend. Come on.
We can change the world. Hey, hey, we can change the world. Let's go. What changes the world? The only thing that ever really changes the world is when somebody gets the idea that love can abound and can be shared.